We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Good morning, everybody. My name is Bart Winkler. It is the Bart Winkler Show, October 9th. Happy birthday, Ryan Horvath. Make sure you tell our good buddy Horvy happy birthday. Horvath will be on this episode. Last week when we did the week five picks, which I think I did okay on. I know I said I would put several hundred dollars on New England, and they didn't score a point. But some of the other picks I got right. My survivor's still alive. If you're in the Splash Sports survivor pool, next week's going to get a little trickier. You are going to have some choices to make. Miami was the pick for me this week. And then next week, if you guys again are still in survivor, you've probably used a bunch of the good ones. I may be looking at the Eagles at the Jets. I think maybe, I'm not sure. So there's a tough decision to make there. Later in the show, again, Ryan Horvath will be on it. We recorded our Packer prediction as well. So we recorded our Packer prediction and I saved it for today's episode. It is under the pretense that Devontae Adams plays. And I know he's questionable. And I think that ultimately he'll play. There's been a lot of talk about him facing Jair, and I think that we will get that matchup. I'm just worried about like one of those Field Yates tweets at midnight. As soon as it cracks midnight, they like have the answer for you. It's like they sit. This happens every week now. It's like Saquon's questionable, and then at midnight 01, Schefter's reporting that he will not play, or Amon-Ra St. Brown will not play. It's like, are you waiting on purpose? Is there like a why is there a moratorium on this? Why can't you just tell us? So unless that has happened, we are assuming that Devontae will play today, and that will impact how we feel about this game. Week five in the NFL, an interesting one. Jacksonville getting a win in London, Jonathan Taylor coming back, and then people are upset that they bench Zach Moss. Of course you're going to bench Zach Moss, especially if you have Taylor. That's not a bad move that you did. It's just that it ended up being a bad move. Saints kill the Patriots. What is of note? Detroit still winning, still playing very well. Joe Burrow is back. Jets beat the Broncos, which is funny. The Vikings. There is a conversation I did see with Vikings fans, the same thing that we had against the Lions where people are selling tickets. Vikings fans let a lot of red into that stadium. So Vikings fans are a little upset, like, what do we do here? How much did you sell tickets for? And I think that for the most part, unless you're a team that is expected to blow out every team every week and have a real party, or unless you're a team that's like the Lions where you've sucked for so long and now you're good, fans are going to sell tickets. They want the tickets, but they cost so much. And then some stadiums have personal seat licenses, which makes it even more expensive. So the only way to justify buying the tickets is selling some tickets. And you're going to try to make some money back. You're not just going to give them away to the, you know, you're going to drive around town and find the first person in a Packer uniform and say, would you like my tickets for half off, sir? I just need to get some green and gold in that stadium, sir. It's just not going to happen. I wish it was different. I wish tickets didn't cost so much. You know, we live in a culture where we like romanticize how much it costs to get into a place. Oh, Super Bowl costs $5,000 to get into. That's awesome. No, it's not. It's stupid. oh, this Packer game is kind of, it's the most, it's the highest ever. That's bad. Tickets should be affordable. It should be $6 on a Tuesday if you want to go watch the Brewers choke in the playoffs, which we will talk about. Bretton Tosa is, you know, he's a guy that we've talked to a lot about the Brewers. And as I tell him, I think about him a lot. He's maybe the most, I don't know. You guys are all passionate about the team. I mean, we all care, but Bretton Tosa has kind of become the, like, the beacon of Brewers for us. And so we do need to wrap with him in a little bit. We'll do that in just a second. I've got Spark Guy's voicemail from after the Brewers loss. Voicemails are brought to you by Carl's Place, carloft.com/Bart. Check out some golf simulators as the weather definitely turns to. It would benefit you to have one of those in your home if this is something that you love to do. carloft.com/Bart, or just check out the website. I mean, really, just check out the website. See, like, what they are, what they look like. I mean, it's not that hard. You're browsing around, refreshing. Instead of refreshing Instagram for the 90th time, just check out Carl Play's website. What's it cost you? All right, here is Spark Guy, 402-915-2278.
Spark Guy here. Just some end of the baseball season thoughts. The one thing, I think the Woodruff thing definitely was a main factor. I also think watching those two games, they'll see how many guys they got on base. There is just an element of luck. Now, I do have to touch on base in your playoff format. Completely disagree. I think the playoff format is as good as it's ever been. I know it sucks when you get swept in two games, but in the old format, you get swept in three games. That's, again, I'm a Cubs fan. That's having an 08. Like, the season ended in 60 hours. Current format really accentuates regular season play. I think it solves the problem. You not only have wild cards fighting it out, but also the division winners fight.
I want what I would do is four teams, three division winners, one wild card, best of seven in both rounds. This 3-5-7 thing is dumb. It does not accentuate regular season. The Diamondbacks have won. They won 84 games. The second half of the season, they were below 500. They did not. I think the playoffs should be who is the most deserving for a championship. Let them battle it out now. Not let's make it exciting in as many cities as we can. Do we? This is where we're at the crossroads. Do we really want to figure out who the best team is every year? I always thought that was the goal. Figure out who the best team is every year. It doesn't seem like that's the goal, which if it's not the goal, it's not the goal. But I've always thought that, I mean, maybe I'm just wrong. Where am I at here? I may have jumped ahead.
You not only have wild cards fighting it out, but also the division winners fighting it out. It prioritizes winning your division, and it prioritizes being one of the best division winners. So you want to avoid being that three seed as a division winner, and you want to avoid being on the road. Because you have to play three games on the road. So I think it makes the regular season that much more interesting while also expanding the field for credible playoff teams. That said, I went into this postseason thinking that I thought the Brewers, I told you that, were the favorite in the NL in my mind. They were playing as strong as they could. The Woodruff thing really, I think, hampered how they got to look at things. And more importantly, they just got unlucky. You know, I think getting that kind of guys on base and that few runs, I think, is a big part of luck. Now, that said, I think it's the same problem the Packers had, free agency. I look at the success of major league teams, go back to the, I got to go my own experience, 16 Cubs. People talk about the young core. That is one of the best young cores that's as perfectly as the draft and produce procedure can go. And they needed free agents. Dexter Fowler hit the leadoff home run. Ben Zobrist had the game-winning hit. John Lester contributed big innings. When I look at this Brewer team and I look at past Brewer teams, they need one or two more guys. And the end of those contracts are always difficult, and you run some risk that at the end of the contract, it really bites you. When I look at the Packers and their success, 2020, the Smith brothers, that was a big success, and I don't think they get where they did without that pass rush. 2014, I know it ended in Seattle, Julius Peppers. You look at the Charles Woodson deal, like, these teams need to have some incorporation of free agency to get that extra piece or two. And you look at some of the bats available, that would have helped the Brewers. Finally, I'm going to go there, and I'm going to say this. I've been on the road a lot the last month. I've been listening a lot. I'm going to say something that's make everybody mad, but it's the truth. Bob Uecker needs to retire. I know people's personal feelings on it, but if you listen to the guy at length, he needs to retire. It is getting to a Lee Corso level. So that's all I got. Bye.
I don't think Bob Uecker is... I don't think he's on the Lee Corso level. I think with Bob Uecker, we like to listen to him because he reminds of our childhood. Or it's just the common voice we've always known. And I don't think that... And he's given up the road games and all this stuff. I don't agree with you. I don't agree with you. We need Bob Uecker in some way, shape, or form on those broadcasts. And he needs to be there too, or he would have retired a long time ago. No, I don't agree with that. We could next time you pop on the video. And next time Spark Guy pops on the live stream, I'm going to post an alert out so everyone can come and throw tomatoes at him. Live stream after Packers football, by the way, that will be on the Dan Shaney YouTube live stream. Packers Raiders Monday Night Football. Packers have not lost to the Raiders since 1987. They've won 8 straight against them, I believe it is. They've only played on Monday Night Football one other time, the day after Favre's dad passed away. So the Packers, they got to win this game. Because I think what the Packers are going to settle into being is a good, bad team. They'll lose to the good teams, beat the bad teams. If they lose to the Raiders, well, then that's not what they are. Then they're just like a bad team that might win sometimes in terms of the 2023 Packers. So we'll find out what happens tonight. I found out what happens when you take a Delta 9 the other night. You start feeling good real quick. And then I passed out. But I enjoyed it a little bit. The Delta 9s, you can take those. They are part of Happy Place Hemp. HappyPlaceHemp.com has them available for you. A lot of times I'll take the Delta 8s. Might go with the CBD CBNs for bedtime. And Tim was on the other day, Tim Shea, with the mango, the THC-free ones. There's a lot of different gummies available, some specifically for the CBD version of it, and then some with the THC, whatever you are into. It is very affordable. They make them right there in Muskego. The promo code is BART. It's 25% off every time. You can try sampler packs and then go bigger if you want. It's really cool. It's sent discreetly to your home. The shipping is not, they don't charge you. And it comes, like, it's very quick. They are very good at getting in the orders and then getting them out. So check them out, happyplacehemp.com. Promo code is BART. We will talk some more Brewers here next.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Okay, so you can always leave voicemails on the Carl's Place voicemail line, 402-915-2278. In the past, though, if you've got a little longer than a voicemail, just let's talk on the show. And so Brett and Tosa, because you get like 3 minutes and you can keep calling back and whatever. I don't know. Maybe I can set it longer than 3 minutes, but it's always better to have a conversation. So let's have a conversation with Brett and Tosa. And I think that you've kind of become like, who I think of a lot when the Brewers suck or do something bad because you wear it on your sleeve a little more. As we are talking here, the Diamondbacks are going into Monday up 1-0, getting to Kershaw early. So this streak of like Brewers teams getting beat by certain teams. They all go to the World Series. And so now, like, now I'm all like, whatever. I don't like that. So where are you with that? Like, are you, you're not rooting for the Diamondbacks or anything. I want the streak to end.
No, I'm not rooting for the Diamondbacks. At this point, it's like, are you fucking serious though? Like, how is this a thing? Like, I don't know.
It's already stupid, but if it happens with the Diamondbacks, I was reading some stuff when I did a show on CBS this weekend. They were like 35-44 in the second half of the season. They had a bad, like, not great September. End of the year, they, I mean, you want to talk about the Brewers backing in to the division. No. The Diamondbacks backed in to the playoffs. And the way that the playoffs structured, Brett, is the Brewers postseason was, that's the biggest problem that I'm having, is 162 games, and you do live and die with every night. And it is a commitment. And I think in baseball, more than any other sport, like, it's work. It's almost like it's exhausting as a fan. You got to be committed to this. And for those that are, to then have the playoffs be 27 hours, like, I'm going to think next year there's going to be games in May and June and July. And I'm just gonna be like, if we're just going to go to the playoffs and get bounced in a day and a half, like, I wonder how much it's worth it to me, you know?
Yeah, I completely agree. I mean, I'm still devastated. I think I will be until this Dodgers series is probably over. But yeah, I mean, I watch most of the games every year, and that's 3 hours every game. It's an hour post game. I mean, it's a couple hours a day where I'm not working and just thinking about like the game. Like, it's a huge time commitment for 6 months out of the year to, you know, the season's done on Sunday and all the build up until Tuesday night. And then just like that, 2 days it's over. It sucks. That's the baseball. That's October baseball. And if you go on a run, it's fun, right? Like, if you go on a run, it can be a week or two of, it's not like the NBA where it's dragged out and there's 2 days of off days and a off day between every game. Like, it's nonstop. So it's a lot of fun, but there hasn't been a lot of fun since 2018. It's been quick exit after quick exit. And it's just, it's hard. 'Cause I know every time you get bounced early, people are like, well, this team sucks. It's someone's fault. Like, I don't know, man. Like, maybe the Braves win the next seven games and they're in the World Series, but like, the Braves are one of the best teams of all time this year. And the Phillies bounced them. I think the Phillies have the advantage tomorrow and the next two games, actually. I mean, baseball in October is like a coin flip. And that's why, do I want a World Series as much as anyone? Like, absolutely. And every year we don't get it, I'm more devastated every year, because it feels like every bite out of the apple that we get, we're a little bit closer. But it's just hard for me to say the season is a disappointment because I understand what playoff baseball's like. And to see,
yeah, I think the regular season, you know, we always do that, was it a success? The regular season was a massive success.
Yeah.
I mean, you had a lot of great performances. You found guys that contributed. I mean, there were great moments throughout, and you won a division. Like, the regular season was a massive success. The way the playoffs are set up, and I get the bites of the apple thing, because, and really all that means is, we just want to get in. We just want to get in, because who knows what can happen. And so that's their philosophy, because that's the way that baseball's set up. Now, if I could change it, I would. I don't like that it's three games and then five games and then seven. It's like a completely different mentality for every round of baseball. I would just like, you know, if we're going to do 162 game regular season, isn't the whole point of that to determine who the best teams are and then let them play it out? What I would go back to four teams with rounds of seven, because then you're really otherwise it's made, baseball right now is made for the Diamondbacks. It's made for a team to just sneak in and not, you know, be that good record wise, but have enough talent where, yeah, for 2-3 weeks they play well and you're World Series champions. It's like, it's made to get into the first little round, win. If you lose, you're the Brewers consistently, but it's made to get in there and win. It's not made for the 100 win team. It's not made for the 95 win team. It's made for the 84 win teams. And the Brewers, you know, they've been in. So like, the theory that they have is if their theory is let's just get in and see what happens, that theory has worked. They've gotten in and seen what happens 5 of the last 6 years, but they're always the team at the other side of it. And it's stacking up where it's like getting worse and dumber than ever the way that they're losing. Tuesday's loss should have been an all-time loss, but we've already felt that kind of loss 5 other times in the last half decade. So it's very frustrating that the Brewers are doing what they intended to do, but because of the way the playoffs are structured, they're not being rewarded. I always say rewarded for bad behavior. The Brewers are not getting rewarded for good behavior. They're getting in, and then it's Corbin Burns shit in the bed. You know, it's guys not being able to hit. And it's just, it's all of a sudden your ace and your all-star closer can't pitch. It just doesn't make any sense what's happening. It's very cruel.
Yeah, I completely agree. There's a lot there for us on the playoffs. I couldn't agree with you more. Just wait till there's expansion in 5 years and they increase to like 7 or 8 teams, which I'm totally against. But you will have at some point a team that wins like 80 games and is in the World Series just because that's how baseball in October works. And I completely agree. I personally like the 5 team with a 1 game. I mean, those games were electric. And I understand that 1 year it was the Cubs versus who was it, Pirates, and it was like 97 versus 98 wins, and no one liked that. But it put emphasis on the divisions, right? It's really the only sport that winning the division truly matters anymore. So, yeah, I completely agree with you. And then as far as the playoffs, yeah, I mean, like everyone – so that's one of the big things is everyone wants to go all in, right? Like the Padres. And, like, that did not work for the Padres. Like, they got to the NLCS every year – or last year – but they didn't make the playoffs this year. And look at the Braves and Dodgers. I mean, they could both be bounced. It does not make sense to go all in. Like, I know the Royals did it. Like, and Jake's point was you got to be a small market. You got to get everyone together and just go for it. Well, the Braves and the Dodgers have been going for it. The Dodgers have been the best team in the league for 10 plus years, and they have won World Series. Like, I'd much rather get a shot every year and have some of these frustrating losses. And I've always said just get hot. Well, the Brewers were actually hot going into October. The Diamondbacks weren't. And then as far as that loss on Tuesday night, I mean, that's the hard thing why I have a problem saying it, or it's hard for me to say it's disappointing, because there's 3 plays in that series that are probably inches apart that if you move the ball an inch or two, the Brewers might sweep. I mean, the Tyrone Taylor ball where Longoria jumped out of his shoes to catch it. The Brewers have a 2-run lead if he doesn't catch that. Sal Frelick, the ball where he hit it right into Zach Gallen's glove. Like, it's 3-0 in the bottom of the second. And then the Carlos Santana play where he probably makes that 8-9 times out of 10. I mean, I agree with you 100% on your post game. Like, I can't blame the guy when there's a bat flying at his head. But it's
just, oh, yeah, I don't blame him for that.
It's just unfortunate. And my only takeaway really from the postseason is all along, Brewers fans have been begging for years that there's too much home runs and strikeouts, and they've kind of wanted this small ball and get on base type of offense. Like, I heard a couple people complain about runners in scoring position. The Brewers hit 300 in those 2 games. It's a small sample size, but they hit 300. They had like a 380 on base. They hit over 300 with runners in scoring position. Like, I just don't like how the team's built right now. I'd rather go back to having Rowdy Tellez hit 220 with 30 home runs. Like, that's what wins in October. But with that being said, the Diamondbacks, they also don't hit home runs. And now they're just hot in the last 3 games, and they've got guys hitting home runs. It's a coin flip. I know people don't like to hear that, but it's the truth.
So for me, then, it's hard. Like, I'm trying to think, you know, because I'm invested in the Bucks, okay? And I know that the Bucks are title or bust. You know, you've got Damian Lillard and Giannis, your title or bust. And there's like their talent is going to dictate how they do. I mean, there's been injuries the last few years. What can you do? But it's not like, although I guess Miami last year kind of did what baseball is. It's like some bullshit team does some bullshit stuff and they get the bullshit result. But that was really the only example. In football, yeah, there's crazy games, you know, whatever. But typically, you know, like the teams in the Super Bowl are good teams. The teams in the NBA Finals are good teams. And in baseball, it is. It's just, it, you know, it's baseball. I keep going back to that. It's baseball. And the fact that it keeps, like, it almost seems like no matter what team the Brewers are assembling, it's just the postseason is not going to work for them. And so as a fan, you know, I just, and I'm sure, you know, come April, May, whatever. But right now I'm just like, why am I going to invest all that time into this, you know?
That's the frustrating thing is all summer I've been telling Grant, just get me to October with Burns, Woodruff, and Peralta, and I feel like we have a chance. And we've done that now the last couple – I know we didn't have Woody, but, like, we've done that the last couple of years, and it hasn't worked out. For me, like, how the Brewers build the next team is I'm done with this elite pitching thing. Like, this front office, what they're really good at is finding pitching out of nowhere. Like, in 2018, the Julius Chassin's, the Wade Miley's, the Gio Gonzalez's, the Trevor McGill's and guys like that, like, they can find pitching. That's what they're good at. I'm just get rid of all this elite pitching. Let the front office pull a bunch of has-beens together and just load up the offense. That's where I'm at now, because I know that's like opposite of what is smart throughout the league, but I think the Brewers have such an advantage on the pitching side of the ball that it hasn't been working, and let's just try something else. A couple of things I want to nail down though is Jake had a couple comments that I think are just completely false. Calls it fluke of a season, and there was a couple people that says the only reason the Brewers were in the playoffs is because they were in a bad division. Like, that's not true. Like, if you want, you can say that. Like, a lot of what Jake does when he comes,
that's why the Twins are in. That's not why the Brewers are in.
That's the perfect example. Like, a lot of what Jake does is he comes on here and talks about, I'm always right, so I'm just gonna spit some facts, and this is how it is. Like, look at the numbers. Like, against five teams above 500, the Brewers had the third best record in the league, only behind the Dodgers and the Braves. Like, this team actually was the opposite this year. They couldn't beat the bad teams. They got swept by the A's. They struggled against the Rockies. Like, this team beat good teams. If you want to look at their run differential, yeah, sure, but that's how the Brewers have always built themselves. Like, this was a very good, very good team. And the only thing you can use against them why they weren't going to go to the World Series is because they didn't hit enough home runs, and usually that's what wins. So if you want to use that and blame it on the front office for not including enough power on the team, that's one thing. But this was not a fluke of the season. It was a very good baseball team. They beat up on they played very well against the best teams in the league. So that goes back to the whole disappointment thing. Like I said, like, I want to win a World Series, and I'm devastated every year. And even though the playoffs aren't the best way to find the best team, to reward the best team like the other sports, I still like that. But I still think it was
good. I would like it if, like, it benefited us one time.
I think it was a good year. They won 92 games. Was the playoffs a disappointment? Yes, absolutely. You can't say it was a success. But, I mean, look at some of the luck they had. I mean, they hit the ball, and Burns sucked, Peralta sucked, Williams sucked. Like, I don't know. It's frustrating. I think they're kind of at a crossroads, to be honest with you. I mean, Burns is going to get traded. Every day that goes on, if Woody has showed – Tim Allen has been saying all year that this was a transition year, which I didn't really agree with. I think next year might be the transition year. Like, if you trade Burns and if Woody has shoulder surgery and all of a sudden he's out, like, well, then you may as well trade Bart's guy, Willy Adames, and just play all the young guys, see what you got, and you're probably not going to make the playoffs. But they've got
– But who's managing Brett?
Well, that's the big thing, right? I don't think Council's going to New York. I do not think that happens. What I don't understand is he just told the – did you have Tyler Kepner on this show?
Not on my podcast. I don't know that I've ever had him on.
Okay. I was trying to think because I know someone in the Milwaukee – someone had him on some show. Might have been J.R. Radcliffe, but – Council just told Kepner like a couple weeks ago, I like what I'm doing, so I would think I would keep doing it. I think it's the whole Giannis thing where national media is going to just blow this story out of the waters, and then Giannis comes out and says he'll probably sign an extension next year, and then it doesn't get any publicity. I think Council's coming back, but, I mean, he's important. He's the face of the franchise, in my opinion.
I mean, he could do a year where he's just like, I need a year off, and then – Pat Murphy manages and then Council comes back.
Well, I think that's what's going to happen is if he literally says, I just need a year off, they'll promote Pat Murphy. And if he retires, they'll look for like a Stephen Vogt or someone. But
because you got a guy, like if that's the play, you've got to like Murphy don't care. You'd be like, hey, you want to manage for a year and then go back to being a bench coach? You'd be like, yeah, I don't care. Yeah. For Craig, sure. I don't give a shit. And I'll call Craig and whatever. I get it. He's tired. He wants to watch his kid play, whatever.
If for some reason Craig goes to New York and chases a World Series, I think that's like a franchise crippling move. Like, I can't tell Brewers fans to keep support. Like, it wouldn't necessarily be the Brewers' fault, but if there's a ton of Brewers fans that say, fuck it, I'm done with baseball and with the Brewers after that happens, like, if Craig Council leaves, how can you ever trust anyone to stay ever again?
Yeah. I mean, at this point, I'd be more mad if he went to New York than if Giannis ever did.
Yeah, and I don't blame players for leaving because you can get more money other places and, you know, there's things you can – endorsements, your brand. But Craig Council's not worried about his brand. Like, it's a big week next week. It's the Council decision. I mean, if Woody needs shoulder surgery, technically he's done as a Brewer unless they sign him to, like, a two-year deal or something. So – I think that's why it's a little bit more disappointing this year is because you know that it's kind of the end of an era. And to make the playoffs and not win any games, it's really frustrating. But it was a good team, and I understand that, like, this has happened 19, 21, 23. It's happened, like, three times now. But it's just – I still got to chalk it up to just October baseball. I mean, I don't know.
Well, you know, what Brett does now is he actually does hibernate for the winter because he can't stand when there's no baseball. He wakes up again for spring training. So have a good slumber.
Yeah, I mean, I watch 80% of the Bucks games and every Packer game, but I don't lose sleep over it like I do for the Brewers. So, yeah, we'll see what happens. I guess.
You should have known it was going to end this way, Brett. You missed your first ever opening day.
I thought that was going to change. We had the little guy for the playoffs. I thought he was a good luck charm, but yeah, I guess not. Maybe next year, the 2024 championship season, right?
There's always next year. Thanks, Brett.
All right. See you later.
Let's go back to the Carl's Place voicemail line as we switch into some football, Packers, Raiders tonight. And then we'll wrap up with some Bucks. Bucks are underway. Some of you might have went to the game, preseason game. I was out of town. Otherwise, I probably would have taken my kid. I like this. I like this noon preseason games. That's where it's at. Get the kids in there. Packers, noon preseason game on a Saturday. Kids. Get the kids in there. It's a preseason game. Who cares? Get the kids in there. Great way to indoctrinate the kid. Now, every time the Packers are on, I say, buddy, we went there. And he watches it with it for a little bit. Great way. Smart. Good moves. All right, here's Matt in the Falls, Carl's Place voicemail.
Hey, Bart, it's me. I'm about to launch into an expletive-laden rant about David Bakhtiari, so this is a warning to parents with children around. You're going to want to pause or skip ahead or whatever. You got, like, three more seconds. Fuck David Bakhtiari. This guy is so full of shit, I don't even know where to begin. He tears his ACL in 2020. He's an elite athlete. His body is crafted from some sort of special marble that we could never even dream of knowing anything about. He tears his ACL in 2020. He's had like 17 surgeries since then. He re-injured it. He's walking around all the time, just dancing around, walking, you know, chugging beers, doing whatever the fuck he wants, but he can't play football. Maybe that has something to do with his butt buddy Aaron Rodgers being gone. He tried to play this year. Oh, I can't play. You know? Oh, well. Now it's just the turfing. Oh, now it's not just the turfing. He can't play at all. I think it's just because he doesn't want to. This reminds me of some other player who nursed injuries forever and just kept on having little procedures done. I don't remember who it was, but that guy was a piece of garbage too. And so was David Bakhtiari. He's holding this team hostage. He's full of shit. He loves Elon Musk. He loves Aaron Rodgers. Nothing about this guy is good. He's not cool. He looks like he smells really bad. So just fuck this guy. Cut him and wave him. I don't know what. Do whatever we have to. Get his contract off the books. Move on. We got rid of Rodgers. We can get rid of this fucking loser.
Here's a timeline of David Bakhtiari. New Year's Eve 2020, tears his left ACL cartilage in practice. I've stolen this from PackersNews.com. A week later, he undergoes surgery to repair his ACL. In the summer of 2021, he's on the PUP list. He comes back to practice in October, activated in November, and then immediately has arthroscopic surgery again. Finally plays against Detroit, but barely. Inactive against San Francisco for the playoff game. Another surgery April of 22. Finally plays a full game in September of 2022. Emergency appendectomy in December. And then he's knocked out of the playoffs. He doesn't play. Then he participates in training camp, plays against the Bears. Inactive, we think it's because of the turf. And now there's a surgery and then another surgery. So it's been 3 years, essentially, that we have not had David Bakhtiari. And one of the more puzzling things about all this is the Packers are along for the ride. They keep converting his salary and pushing it down. And they seem to think that whatever they're going to get out of David Bakhtiari at some point may be worth the wait. And now it seems they may never get anything out of David Bakhtiari again. Just a curious case. This was never offensive line. They never gave a third contract to. They did for this guy. We can assume it's because they wanted to appease Rodgers or whatever. But this is not like the Packers, how they're treating Bakhtiari. And it is weird. And I don't know enough about his inner workings of his knee to really make a point one way or the other. I just know it's like super frustrating, and the vagueness of it has been bothersome for fans. All of a sudden he's there and he's waving on the field to the Bears fans and flipping them off, and it seems like he's okay, and then he's not. It's just there's not been any clear answers from either side, and maybe they don't know the answers and they're just making up as they go. But look, I don't know if David Bakhtiari, I agree with Matt towards the end. I don't think like I would be friends with him.
Well, he wouldn't be friends with you.
I don't need everyone to be friends with me. I like, he would be a guy that like I talk to and I quickly feel like, okay, we're good. And it might be vice versa for him, but I don't know why I brought that point up. I just know that I'll be happier when he's not a Packer anymore. I think it's similar with Rodgers. It's just, it's not worth it to wait around for this guy. And it sucks and whatever. I mean, it just sucks. I never liked when he was on the Big Show. He's on the Big Show when things were going great. He'd call every week. And then if he had a bad game or if there was something, he would like, oh, David can't come on this week. Or, oh, okay, all right. Okay, no, that's, of course. You knew the weeks. Like on Sunday, you knew after the game if Bakhtiari was coming on that Tuesday or not. You knew. And I thought that was weird. So no Bakhtiari. Elton Jenkins off the injury report. And that leads us to our prediction about the Packers and the Raiders, where, and again, assuming Devontae plays, Horvat and I feel pretty decent about the Packers. At least we start out that way. Hey, let's bring in Ryan Horvat for our Monday show. Hey, Horvat, happy birthday.
Hey, thanks, man. 29 today, feeling good. Next year, it'll be 30. I'll feel a little bit older, but excited for the day. What better way to spend my birthday than at work? I wanted to go to Las Vegas for the Raiders-Packers game, but it was declined. My request was declined. What a perfect way to spend my birthday, though. My favorite team playing in my favorite location against my least favorite team because those cucks stole Davante Adams from us. That said, Davante Adams reception prop over tonight. Davante Adams anytime touchdown, playing it tonight. Davante Adams receiving yards, playing them tonight. You got a prop for Davante? I'm betting on it. Revenge game, even though he's the one that left us.
Yeah, a lot of people want to be, hey, the Packers should trade for Davante. They ain't trading for Davante.
No, give us like a, and I love Davante, but we're not going to trade back for a 30-plus-year-old wide receiver. He's great. He's still one of the best in the league, if not the best.
Like, we're not a Davante away from a Super Bowl.
No, so we're like we might be like a defensive coordinator, a head coach, like fucking two linebackers, two safeties, a quarterback. Oh, just kidding. I think the quarterback's like the only thing I actually have faith in with this team right now.
We're at least five or six starters away from a Super Bowl.
Like 1 week LaFleur, here's the thing, right? All I heard about was how like Aaron Rodgers was changing plays at the line of scrimmage, which obviously he was doing with McCarthy. But I don't know that he was. I think Rodgers was running the Matt LaFleur offense, and I think that's why there were times where Rodgers would go over to the sideline and look like he wanted to rip Matt LaFleur's fucking face off, even though they were like best buds. And I think it's right now it's pretty early, but I won't be shocked by next year, week three, week four, if Jordan Love's not doing the same thing, because I just watched that game again. For the life of me, I'll never understand why you have Jordan Love going against the Lions, who are getting pressure again at like a 36% rate. Hutchinson's playing out of his mind. You're down two of your starting linemen, your two best linemen, and Elton Jenkins and David Bakhtiari. And I know Aaron Jones is dinged and he's on a pitch count. And Detroit's number five against the rush, against the run. But you didn't even have the threat of run out there most of the time. It was just like empty. They didn't run the ball until they were already down 14-3 in that game. And the only reason they had 3 points was because they were gifted a short field. And LaFleur's not calling any run plays. And then his first two run plays are halfback draws to A.J. Dillon on first and second down to, again, then set Jordan Love up for a known passing down on third down where Detroit's pass rush could just tee off. So, like, people were, like, shitting. Like, casuals were like, maybe Jordan Love isn't the guy. No, maybe, like, LaFleur was hungover. Like, that was the worst fucking play calling I've ever seen. It was bad. That was, like, Arthur Smith bad. That was Nathaniel Hackett bad. So
somebody tweeted me, like, joking.
I don't know
how the NFL is scripted. Because, like, LaFleur seems like – he always seems like he can't – like, he's doing as best as he can, but there's different circumstances at play. Like, I'm trying. I just – but this is the way it's got to be. Like, it's just – there's something off with the way that he coaches to me.
Where was all that shit from the first couple weeks of the season? Like, I thought that the game plan against Chicago was perfect. And I get, again, you're down some pieces and Jones is dinged and A.J. Dillon's no good and you're down two linemen. But, like, where's the pre-snap motion that we saw? Where's the window dressing? Like, where's the trick plays? Like, are we just done with the trick plays? Because for whatever reason, we tried one on fourth and two and it didn't work out. Yeah, it just hasn't – last week was bad. That said, though – perfect timing to bounce back because you get the Las Vegas Raiders and that shithole of a defense. Other than Crosby, Max Crosby, really nobody on that defense is any good. Their other best
players. If they lose this game.
Yeah.
Like, if they lose this game. I think LaFleur's undefeated heading into the bye, actually. I was reading the Packers dope sheet.
He is.
I love the Packers in this game. Like, love, love, love. They should destroy. They should own.
Why is it only a 1-point spread?
I don't know. Maybe Matt LaFleur, maybe Devontae, maybe.
I bet the over. I don't think either team's getting many stops in this game.
I just, like, if they lose this game, Matt LaFleur needs to fucking go.
Like, I'm going to pick him to win this game. I'm not going to bet him to win
game. I'm not trying to be Matt LaFleur fired guy, but I just don't think he's it, man.
Depends how they lose.
Is that wrong?
I think it depends how they lose,
man. You see Terry Bradshaw gargling through an interview on the podium with Matt LaFleur up there at the Super Bowl?
So I think LaFleur's problem is, like, he's a smart guy. Sometimes he's creative with his play calling. And I think the scripted stuff is really good. Like in the first quarter, the first two drives are usually pretty good. And then in the third quarter, stuff's usually pretty good. But I don't think he's good at in-game adjustments or management.
No, he needs the world to pause.
If he always gets out coached.
So he can go up to his office, figure out what to do. Then he'll come up with the right answer. But in the moment, and I don't know if that's a lack of confidence or if that's he's just – it's too much information. It's too fast. The game needs to slow down for not Jordan Love, but Matthew Patrick LaFleur.
He's too fucking emotional for me sometimes. Like, we're like, Belichick is pissed and he's angry. But
oh my God, I guessed his middle name.
But he never looks like he's going to cry.
That's his middle name.
What? LaFleur?
No, Patrick.
Good guess.
That was just a guess. Matthew Patrick. How many this guy fucking no way he wasn't being taught by a nun in eighth grade. This is as Catholic as it gets. Matthew Patrick.
I mean, I'm Catholic, so Is that a shot? Well,
I mean, am I? Well, technically, I guess I am.
You want to fight about it? I didn't have a nun in the eighth grade. Sister Catherine was in the sixth grade. I did have nuns.
CCD.
I did have nuns in high school, though. Yeah, the Packers have to win this game, man. 1-point favorites on the road, total 44.5. Like I said, I like the over. They lose this game. I mean, it depends how they lose this game, you know, before you start calling for the heads of the coaching staff. But, yeah, the play calling's got to be much better. They're going to have to get Aaron Jones involved. LaFleur shouldn't look like he's about to cry at half. There's no reason that Aaron Jones shouldn't have at least 6 to 8 touches, even if he's still dinged in the first half. And that's even too low because A.J. Dillon's no good. Got to get Christian Watson involved in the offense, even if it's not like Christian Watson, 10 targets, you know, a couple jet sweeps, at least just like the threat of him being out there as the deep threat opens things up. So it's hard to be worried about the Raiders. I'll be pissed if they lose this game. I'm really down on the Raiders. I think the goal for the Raiders should be let's suck and let's get Caleb Williams or let's get Drake May because we just opened up a huge stadium in Las Vegas. And we want to be a big hit here. And I don't think Jimmy Garoppolo or Aiden O'Connell are going to move the needle. And I like Aiden O'Connell. I'm glad he got a shot last week. But
so game two of the NLDS is tonight, and the Brewers should be in it. But I think one of the things that people were saying with the Brewers was, why are you so mad? It's not like they're going to win against the Dodgers. And I'm like, well, okay, that's fine. But you should still beat this team that you played at home when you had lead. Like, if the Packers go, like, if they lose on Monday today, I'll be mad. And then people will say, well, it's not like they're going to go anywhere. Well, yeah, but they should not lose this game. Like, I want to see – what we want to see is this team get better, this team improve. We want to see signs, you know – You can't lose to Detroit the way you did and then respond with a loss against a shitty team. This team is bad.
No, I'm with you.
Your coach is dumber than yours.
Yeah, there's just like certain teams this year that you still want to beat even if the goal isn't to win a Super Bowl. Like, I don't want to lose to Minnesota. At least want to split with Minnesota. And this is the game, like, where, yeah, like, because – even if it's not, even if it's a rebuild or a retool or whatever the fuck it is for Green Bay, it should still be better than what the Raiders have going on. You know what I mean? Which is usually shit culture. We're only a couple years removed from the rug stuff and the John Gruden stuff.
We're sort of in a rebuild. The Raiders are never in anything.
Like, they hired Josh McDaniels. Josh McDaniels is awful. He's so fucking bad. Everybody watched it a couple weeks ago, last week, whenever that game was, where he kicked the field goal, make a one possession game that never got the ball back.
Yeah, they call that the Matt LaFleur.
Yeah, he pulled the LaFleur. He's got all these weapons on offense they're not even using. Hunter Renfro, my guy Michael Mayer, not to be confused with John Mayer. Baby Gronk, they called him at Notre Dame, calling him fucking baby milk carton right now.
Raiders lost the Super Bowl in 2002 because – Baskin Robbins or whoever that lineman was fucking disappeared in the middle of the night. What's that guy's name?
Barrett Robinson or something like that. He was like on meth or something.
And then since then they've made the playoffs twice, once under Jack Del Rio, and then once because Brandon Staley like escorted them into the wild card round. This team is trash. They are terrible.
That's what I'm saying. Like, even if the Packers aren't winning 10, 11 games or going to the Super Bowl this year, you still got to be in better shape than the Raiders, right? So the thing that scares me is Devontae in this game. Who the fuck is going to cover Devontae? Are we going to get Jair on Devontae? Is Jair even going to play?
I don't know. And Devontae knows just how shitty our defense is.
I'm going to pick the Raiders.
What?
Yeah, I think Devontae is going to torch the Packers tonight. I hope Goots at this game.
How high would the over-under of catches have to be on Devontae before you took under?
In this game?
Because I think it's possible he has 20 receptions.
Yeah, how do you defend him? Is it like Jair with safety help up top? Because, like, what fucking
Devontae's going to have at least 30 targets.
How does this game not go over?
I don't know.
How do we not
Devontae is playing, right?
Who?
He's playing, right?
Who?
He's not like hurt.
Who are you talking about?
Devontae.
Yeah, no, Devontae's gonna be out there.
Oh, what, he fucked up his shoulder.
He's playing.
But then he nutted up, yeah.
He's gonna have my predicted stat line for Devontae tonight: 14 receptions, 225 yards. No, that's not realistic. I'll go 11 receptions, 175 yards, 2 touchdowns. Raiders win 27-24. I don't want to do this, right? Like, I'll be sad, but I have a bad feeling. Like, I didn't want to trade fucking Devontae Adams. I'm fine with the Rodgers shit. The Devontae stuff really hurts me every time.
Well, Rodgers is the one that, like, Devontae is like, here's what I think happened with Devontae and Rodgers. This will make
Jordan Love deserves nice things too. Like, I'm not that Christian
Devontae was never like, you know, the option of a trade. It's like a guy who's on a diet, doesn't want to eat chocolate. And then one day Devontae goes to Rodgers, I might want that piece of chocolate. And then Rodgers goes, oh, okay. And he shoves it down his fucking throat. And like, I'll help you get traded. Screw you.
Devontae, I miss Devontae the most because I think Devontae's a really good dude. And I also think he works really hard. I mean, you could tell he works really hard. Like, look at the way that he like transformed his body. You remember the drops early on in his career, all the shit that he had to deal with from schmucks like you demanding that he was, you know, demanding.
I want him cut. I flat out said cut him.
So I like felt like he should have been one of those guys that was a Packer for life. Same with Rodgers, but I mean, if Rodgers wanted to continue to play and it was time to go to Jordan Love, it was time to go to Jordan Love. But Devontae would have been great for this team. Right? Devontae, yeah. Jordan Love. Yeah, like Jordan Love should have nice things too, not just Luke Musgraves and fucking Jaden Reed. And I like these guys, but they're 22 years old. What would help a young quarterback who's got all eyeballs on him and he's being evaluated this season and wants to get a big contract would be, I don't know, a top five NFL wide receiver. A left
I think when you, ask why, the, when you ask why the spread is one, that's why. Because I think Vegas looked at this and said all the things. I think they went through the same thing. And then one of the guys is like, shit, Devontae's going to have like 300 fucking yards, isn't he? The Packers a one-point favorite.
That's what's scary. Obviously, I can make the case for the Packers, right? Jordan Love plays out of his mind. Defense does their job. They play like there's 9 first-round picks. They turn over Jimmy Garoppolo, Aiden O'Connell, whoever the fuck's out there, and they win that game handily. But the case I can make in my head is Packers offensive line without David Bakhtiari, Max Crosby coming off the outside, who's blocking him, getting pressure. Jordan Love maybe serves up an interception. There's a strip sack. There's a turnover. And they can't stop Devontae. That'd be my concern in this game. And the run. Like, Josh Jacobs hasn't really – they finally got him going last week. Are they stopping the leading rushing leader? We saw what Atlanta just did to this team. I'm a little worried about this game. You know, I'm not betting it, but, yeah, I'll pick the Raiders. Devontae revenge game. I hate myself.
Well, I think the Packers step up on your birthday. I think they're going to get the win.
That's the other thing. It's my birthday, and I can't have nice things. They wouldn't even give me the night off tonight.
It's bullshit.
I agree. Glad well, I.
Why don't you just do what you would have done? Do what you would have done here.
Glad that I could vent on this podcast and where nobody will find me. What?
Thanks.
I mean, my bosses.
Just don't do the thing where you don't get the day off, and then all of a sudden you're sick.
I was just really sick 2 weeks ago, so I don't think that's the problem. When I'm sick, I'm actually sick. You're about to find
another family member that's almost dead. Hold
on. Is your son in daycare yet?
Yeah.
Well, wait till – so is he, like, sick every other week with, like, a cough and sneezing and stuff? Wait till he goes to
reading. No, but I was sick all summer.
That's what people don't understand. Like, when your kids start going to school, man, there's germs everywhere. Anyway, I'm picking the Raiders. I'm picking Devontae. I got 1% on my computer. Whoa.
I don't know what happened.
Where'd you go?
I don't know.
Perfect time to rat before my computer dies anyway. I got 1%, I just realized.
All right. Thanks, Horvat.
Thanks, buddy.
All right. Couple more voicemails. Again, wish Horvat a happy birthday. And
and join us for the stream tonight. I didn't catch who sent this voicemail, but it was regarding the Badgers. Badgers won over Rutgers, so they're chugging along. But this was a voicemail that came in. I'll play part of it.
I'm sick of hearing about how bad the student section is and not filling up. There's two things about that. One, maybe not kick off at 11 a.m. during homecoming weekend. I don't know. I mean, I haven't been in university for almost 30-some-odd years. I'm 32. But I can't believe that people who are going to football games, when I was going to school and kids are going to football games now, aren't going out and just getting shit-canned drunk on the Friday night before homecoming. And who wants to wake up and try to be at a game by 11 a.m.? Two, if you're going to kick off at 11 a.m., maybe play somebody better than fucking Rutgers. All right? Who the hell is going to wake up, even if I didn't go out and get hammered the night before? Who's going to get up and want to be at Camp Randall at 10 a.m. to wait in line so I can watch them kick off against Nebraska, Temple, Maryland, whatever. Like, I'm done. That's it. I mean, change it. And if the powers that be from the, you know, when you go in and you do the schedule timing, if we're not that good, if NBC, CBS, Fox, ESPN don't think that we are a quality enough team to be at a 2 o'clock kickoff central time, well then fucking work harder. Secondly, no offense, I mean he's a college kid, it is what it is, but Mordecai, out of the 375 quarterbacks that I read about transferring through the portal to Wisconsin after Fickell was hired, we settled on this guy. No offense, but he lame ducks balls over 20 yards. He was lucky in that first quarter not to have two interceptions.
I think Mordecai, I'll cut it off there. I thought, I expect a little more out of him. I mean, they're, what are they, 5-1? He was putting up like 500 yard, 5 touchdown games at SMU, and it's just not happening in Wisconsin, which maybe, you know, that was never on the table. But to go back to the student section point, someone had a great tweet showing the other end zone, which was not full, and it's of, like, you know, the people that are complaining. I would say out of any topic that has been covered since I entered the sports radio world in 2014, this is the dumbest. This is the most unnecessary. It is the absolute meaningless topic. Students getting in late. Who cares? Nobody cares. The only people that care are the people that care, and they shouldn't care. Does that make sense? Nobody anywhere else in the country is even aware of this problem. Yet for people that it is a problem to, it's the biggest problem. They show up eventually. It is how it is. The caller's right. You get. I mean, I remember the games that I would go to. I didn't go to Wisconsin, but I went to Madison enough for those games. You wake up at like 7:30. You start playing beer pong right away. You start to stroll over maybe around 10. Stop at a few other places along the way that are just passing out beer or doing 3-story beer bongs, and you get in when you get in. I mean, you're getting hammered, which is the point. In that state of your life, that is the point. And then you go to a football game where you cheer for a little bit and there's no booze available. I'm not going to rush to get away from my booze to go get non-booze. I don't know. It's just so stupid. How can you care? How can it impact your life in any way? I got another voicemail here, but Dan wants me to save it for Grant. Our UW Eagles beat Whitewater for the first time in 20 years off a walk-off field goal. So we'll do that later in the week. Do have one from Jeff about the Bucks.
Hey, Bart, it's Jeremy from Milwaukee. Had one quick thought and question about Damian Lillard and Giannis. Sorry, it's a little out of my truck driving to work, but do you think that Damian will be bringing the ball up, you know, the full court, you know, when they are moving the offense, and, you know, is Giannis going to not be bringing the ball up the court so much, and how much that would change and affect each other's games. Just, I don't know. It seems like it always pissed me off seeing Giannis bring the ball up, you know, all the time. And I don't know. I'm curious to see if that'll happen or if anybody is talking about that. I know it's early, so we don't know yet, but just want to hear your thoughts on that. That's it. Have a good one.
Well, they had a preseason game Sunday. Neither of them played. Bulls did play their starters, and they lost to the Bucks 105-102. Who led the way for Milwaukee? Marjan Beauchamp, 18 points, 5 of 11. There we go. Good to see. Crowder, Portis, Lopez, Brook, Malik Beasley, and Wigginton started for what it's worth. Here's the thing about the Bucks and really the Celtics and this whole narrative. Drew, by the way, 2 for 10. If anybody noticed the Celtics game, I think Drew going to the Celtics, it's like, it's all about fit for me. That's why the Nuggets, I still think are like, I'll say Bucks are the favorite, but then I will say Nuggets too. I will put them in the same breath because they had a superstar and they built the perfect team around that guy. I don't think it's about building the perfect team. It's about finding the superstar and building around them. Tatum and Brown have always played a similar type role. Where you can, you can use them to great success, but does Drew fit them? Does Drew fit them? Like, I think Marcus Smart might have fit them more. Look, Drew's got a tendency to chuck up early shot clock shots that brick, and we don't want to be slandering Drew. We love Drew, but this fit with Damian and Giannis, I think people are talking, but once they see it, Giannis, his whole life, his whole career, has been a guy who has needed, if he's going to play with somebody, needed guys that he can distribute the ball to. Like Giannis going in and then kicking it out, knocking down threes. That's what we've needed. And we've tried to get guys to do that, whether it was Jay Crowder or Nikola Mirotic or Mirza Teletovic or Chris Middleton even, or Pat Connaughton, and some guys have done it. Grayson Allen, some guys have done it better than others. But he needs a guy who, when he's coming down the floor, like, you look at Chris and you say, all right, if Giannis passes to him, fine. We'll let him beat us. Same with Drew. And so three guys build a wall. That's the reason the wall has been so successful, is because Giannis commands that much attention and there hasn't been another threat to take one of those guys off the wall. Well, Damian Lillard's out in Portland being basically the point guard version of Giannis. And he's commanding 2-3 guys on him. And who's he going to kick it out to? Like, who's his best teammate of all time? It's Giannis already at 1, and then probably Middleton at 2, and Brook at 3. That's CJ McCollum and LaMarcus Aldridge erasure. But my goodness, like, Damian's needed a guy like Giannis his whole career. Giannis has needed a guy like Damian. They are the perfect match for each other. The only more perfect way for these two styles would be Steph and Giannis, I think. But Dame, I mean, it's Dame. People are excited, not just because it's like, that's where what's getting lost. People aren't excited. They are excited because it's Dame. They are. But it's Dame with Giannis. That's what it is. It's Dame, yes. But it's Dame with Giannis. Like, if you trade Giannis, you hope to get someone as good as Dame back. This is Dame and Giannis together when you still have pretty much everyone else except Drew. You still got Brooke. You still got Bobby. You still got Chris Middleton. I don't think people are like, unless they are ready and they're trying not to believe it, but the Bucks are going to kick some serious ass. Their win total is 48.5. What a crime. That's criminal. You think this team, with Giannis and Dame, is going to lose 32 games? No. You know, so we'll see how much they play and barring injury, but no. You have to bet over on that. I can't wait to see it. All right, live show Monday night, talking Packers Raiders. Until then, I do hope Devontae plays. It'll make the game more interesting. But I kind of hope he doesn't play because he's going to have 20 catches against us. And that part would suck. But we'll see. We will talk to you Monday night.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.